Chapter 1. Locke. Jackson, Wyoming. Thursday, June 23, 1977, 10 a.m. Patrick. Patrick Flint kept a tight grip on his wallet as the owner of Wyoming Whitewater pulled out a pencil and tallied up the damages, tongue out and eyes squinted. The shop was in a musty log cabin near downtown, close enough to the Jackson Hole Historical Society and Museum to taunt Patrick. He was dying to see their new exhibits, one on the history of bighorn sheep in the area, and another on the Mountain Shoshone, or sheep-eater Indians, who had inhabited the surrounding high country since long before the advent of Yellowstone as a national park. He glanced over his shoulder. Out the front windows, the green stripes of ski runs crisscrossed the face of the mountains that were crowding the downtown area. It was pretty, but it paled next to the wonders he'd seen in the previous 24 hours. During their drive to Jackson that morning after camping near DuBois, Patrick had been amazed by the sharp granite teeth of peaks in the Shoshone National Forest, by the prominence of Stately Gannet, the highest peak in the state, by the high sagebrush flats in the Wind River Range. In fact, the whole drive from Buffalo to Jackson had further cemented his belief that Wyoming was the wildest and most beautiful state in the nation. From the bright red cliffs of the Chugwater Foundation to the range of colors in the palette of the arid western slopes of the Bighorns to the high canyons, gorges, and gullies carved by wind and water. But by far, his greatest moment of wonder was his first glimpse of the iconic skyline of the jagged Cathedral Group peaks. Grand Teton's rocky, snow-topped spire stood above the rest, basking in the mid-morning sun. His skin actually tingled with anticipation. He couldn't wait to get out into the wilderness, where he felt closest to nature, his true self, and the majesty of the Almighty. But the shop owner's voice drew him back around. "You want 4 canoes, 8 paddles, and 8 life jackets for 3 days. Canoeing the backcountry, like in the movie Deliverance. Or actually, let's hope it's not like Deliverance." Patrick had never seen Deliverance, and he had no idea what the man was talking about. "That comes out to..." The owner, whose name was Brock, quoted a number and brushed sun-bleached curls from his eyes with his other hand. Mid to late 20s, tall and stooped, looking more California cool than Wyoming rough and ready. He also gave off an odor like he'd poured most of a bottle of cheap cologne down his chest. No self-respecting mountain man left the house smelling like that. "Anything else, man?" Patrick groaned. Not for the first time. He compared the cost of the extra gas he would have used if he'd borrowed the gear and equipment back in Buffalo to the rental total. Just when he'd been about to hit up his friend and co-worker Wes Brayton to make the trip with them and pull one of the trailers, his wife Suzanne had put the kibosh on the plan. She didn't like the idea of caravanning with trailers through multiple mountain ranges, regardless of the savings he'd projected. Patrick had been disappointed, and not just because of the expense. Wes and his international harvester travelall, Gussie, were a rugged pair and good to have along. "Do you offer any kind of volume discount?" Patrick suggested a lower number. Brock laughed. "It's 1977, not 1957, you know. That's my best price, and you won't find a better deal in the western part of the state." He straightened the shoulders on his t-shirt, light green with short sleeves, and the words "lunch counter" below a graphic of a turbulent river.